This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Parts of the Carolinas are now gearing up for as much as 40 inches of rain from Hurricane Florence, which is expected to make landfall somewhere near the North and South Carolina border late today or early tomorrow. It has now been downgraded to a Category 2 hurricane, but South Carolina Governor Henry McMaster says it doesn't mean you should let your guard down if you're in its path.
It could pick back up, and as we have been predicting, this hurricane is unpredictable. It seems to change a little bit here and there. It's making predictions very difficult.
The Senate Judiciary Committee is scheduled to vote today to send Brett Kavanaugh's Supreme Court nomination onto the full Senate, though Democrats on the committee are expected to request a one-week delay, which will likely be granted under committee rules. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, folks. Let's wind the clocks back 60 years. Food was different. Food provided health and nutrition, and using supplements was minimal. Unfortunately, now we have chemicals, GMOs, herbicides, and pesticides that can be quite lethal in the name of our food supply and, of course, the ever-loving dollar. Supplementing our diets can be very important to stay healthy. Cleansing from daily intruders to the body might be critical. Live strong and take charge. Log on to GetTheTea.com. Our herbal tea is a great way to cleanse from intruders. When your health is not up to par, go to GetTheTea.com. No GMOs, no fillers, and organic. And very helpful in keeping you at the top of your game.
Everybody knows, including me, that Life Change Tea is the tea that makes you go. Visit GetTheTea.com for a limited time and use promo code USA and get free shipping at GetTheTea.com. Use promo code USA at GetTheTea.com.
The Labor Department just reporting this morning that 204,000 workers filed initial jobless claims last week, 1,000 fewer than the previous week's revised total. Economists have been expecting the number to come in a bit higher at about 210,000. Police trying to determine why a man went on a shooting spree in Bakersfield, California last night, shooting and killing five people before he killed himself. One of his victims, his wife.
We're right at the beginning of the stages of this investigation. Obviously, there's some type of situation that caused the husband to be extremely upset.
That's the Kern County Sheriff. New York's primary set for today. The two Democratic candidates for governor say they're confident. Governor Andrew Cuomo is running for a third term. He's urging voters to defy President Trump by voting for him. The challenger, actress Cynthia Nixon, is way behind in the polls. But Nixon, who starred in Sex and the City, says polls have been wrong before. This is USA Radio News.
Everyone loves liberty, so why are you letting other people tell you what's best for your health care? Exercise your freedom with Liberty Health Share. Liberty Health Share is a community of people who voluntarily share one another's medical costs. Members are able to take back the freedom to make their own decisions about their health care. Stop letting others tell you what to do. Call us at 855-58-LIBERTY for more information or check us out online at libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
The New York City Council is approving a bill that would add a third gender to birth certificates. The legislation would make the new XID category available. Supporters say it gives transgender New Yorkers the ability to request a gender identity change without having to get a letter from a doctor or affidavit from a licensed health care provider. The bill has the blessing of Mayor Bill de Blasio. The CDC is reporting seven states are now reporting obesity rates at or above 35% of the population. Here's John Clemens with more.
In a similar report 5 years ago in 2012, all states had obesity rates lower than 35%. But now seven states, Alabama, Arkansas, Iowa, Louisiana, Mississippi, Oklahoma, and West Virginia, made the list. In the current survey, obesity prevalence ranged from a low of 22.6% for Colorado to a high of 38.1% in West Virginia. I'm John Clemens.
And a Red Sox fan's recovering after being struck by a flying bat during last night's Red Sox-Blue Jays game at Fenway Park. It flew out of the hands of Toronto second baseman Devin Travis during the eighth inning, and it flew over protective netting, hitting the man in the forehead. He was conscious, though, when he was stretchered away and even gave fans a big fist pump. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-318-4349 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-318-4349. Again, that's 800-318-4349.
Bill Martinez, live.
You're one step away from surrender. One step away.
6 minutes after the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here. It's always great to have you along with us, sharing a part of your day. You know, have you ever had that thought that you're waiting for something? You know, and usually that happens to me at 3 o'clock in the morning. Something about God and the Holy Spirit waking me up at 3 o'clock in the morning. That seems to be a great time for them. Maybe because they have my undivided attention. What do you think? But, you know, if you find yourself waiting for something, sometimes you say, well, what exactly am I waiting for? Maybe something different, something better. Well, for Christians, perhaps the deepest expression of what we're waiting for is found in the phrase eternal life. But what is eternal life, and why do we want it, and how do we know if we have it? Those are great questions. In Eternity Is Now in Session, the best-selling author John Ortberg dispels the myth that eternal life is something way out in outer space that we can only hope for to experience after we die, and that being saved is merely about meeting the minimal entrance requirements for getting into heaven. Instead, John unpacks the reality that the moment we trust Christ, we are initiated into eternal living with God as a here and now reality, one that will continue beyond our life on this earth. John Ortberg, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you, sir?
Bill, I'm doing great. Wonderful to hear you. Man, that's a ton of energy. Thank you.
Well, good. Well, there's a lot of excitement here to talk. You know, whenever you can talk about eternal life, and the questions that you pose here, John, are right on. That's what people want to know is, you know, what is eternal life? I mean, Jesus came, told us, and for people who had ears to hear, and for those of us who read it 2,000 years later, how meaningful is it? And is it that, you know, like the Bible says, is it that word that goes and finds its mate in our hearts?
Well, you know, the word eternity is such a mysterious word, and it's very evocative, and it calls to something real deep in us. But part of what I try to do in the book is look at words or phrases that folks who are either inside the church or who have read the Bible or heard some of those words before may know but not have great clarity about. And one of them is that phrase, eternal life.
Exactly.
And I do think often people think of something that you have to die before you can begin to experience it. And what's interesting is Jesus himself actually defines eternal life one time. It's the only time it's defined in all of the Bible, and it's in John chapter 17, verse 3. Jesus is praying, and he says, "Now this is eternal life, that they," that is the disciples, "us, know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." In other words, eternal life is not something that you have to wait a long time to happen someplace else. It's to actually not just know about God, but to know God, to live in an interactive, participatory relationship of engaging with God, his presence, his guidance, his love, his acceptance, right here, right now, and anybody who wants can experience that.
Exactly, and we're told elsewhere it's free. You know, nothing that you can do, it's free. It's a free gift of God, right?
It's available as a gift of grace, and anybody who is listening to us right now Wherever they are or have been, whatever they have or have not done, there is no action. There is nothing that disqualifies you beyond the point of no return from this. Anybody is able to have this if they want it through Jesus.
John, I'm glad right off the bat you talked about, you know, certain terms that can be a bit bewildering, almost threatening for some people, and confusing, especially people outside of the faith. And sometimes I think we get into this Christianese, and it's almost like some port of entry into the fraternity here that you need to know these words. But I'm surprised how many people who have been walking in the faith are still confused about, you know, eternal life or salvation or discipleship for that matter.
I think, Bill, it's actually something that happens all the time across the centuries. We always, there's just vision drift. And a lot of what Jesus had to do himself when he came was correct people's distorted ideas about God and faith. So he would constantly be saying things like, you have heard it said, but I say to you, or to what shall I compare the kingdom of God? So I actually think we don't need to be troubled about this. It inevitably happens, but there is a tremendously exciting adventure, I believe, that awaits people, including often people who have been around churches, when they look at what is the message. The gospel is another one of those key words. What is the gospel that Jesus himself came to teach?
Right. Well, in a recent Gallup poll, it was indicating that, you know, what, 85% still of America claims to be Christians. They believe in God. Many have Bibles. That's the good news. The bad news is it's sitting on the shelf and gaining dust. Well, how are you going to know God if you're not being faithful to his word by even engaging in it? I mean, even with Gallup, I mean, their standards were so, I think it was Barna extended this research, and they made it seem like, boy, you were really participating if you engaged with the Bible maybe 3-4 times a week. And, you know, it was a minimal amount of engagement. And I'm going, wait a minute, how can you minimally engage the Word of God when Jesus himself said it is by the Word of God that he lives and breathes?
Well, there's a wonderful invitation when Jesus is talking with people about how to get to know him. And what he says is, if anyone will do my will, they will know that my teaching comes from God. And I love that invitation because that's available to anybody. If anybody's listening to us right now, even if they don't believe in God, even if they're not sure about the Bible, they're not sure about the whole, is Jesus divine, a wonderful place to start is exactly where Jesus begins. Just try to do what it is that Jesus taught. Just seek to actually love your neighbor. Seek to actually love your enemy. And then you'll find out pretty soon that you can't actually do it and you need God's help. And so you can ask him and you will discover that what Jesus says is true as you actually seek to live it. And that's the, you know, the fundamental way of engaging with the teachings or the word of Jesus is not simply to read them, not even simply to know them in an intellectual sense, but to actually do them. And when you do what Jesus said, you will find that it is self-validating.
And without a doubt, it's empirical. I mean, this has been proven thousands, you know, a couple thousand years where people, and even before then, you had God talking to Cain. And when Cain was all depressed and everything because his sacrifice wasn't accepted. And I say, you know, God's simple directive echoes through the millennia. It says to Cain, if you do right, will it not go well for you? And for those that have done right, anecdotally, experientially, they can tell you without hesitation, when they do right, it goes well for them. When they choose to do it their way, it doesn't go so well.
There are so many wonderful teachings that are that way, like when Jesus says, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Well, that's an observation about the way that things are. And for anybody that's listening, I can begin to actually give. I can give with my finances. I can give with my time. And so I can do what Jesus said, and I will discover over time that actually it is a much better way to live, to be generous and to be open-handed and open-hearted is a better way to live than to be clutching and greedy. And the reason that Jesus taught all these things is because he loves us and he wants us to be ushered into this life. And anytime, you know, with humility and a sense of openness and dependence, we seek to put into practice what Jesus taught. What's wonderful is not only is it true, Bill, but he is right there with us.
Exactly.
And he will be right there with anybody who's listening to us right now. If you give him half a chance, if you open yourself up to him, he will be with you, and he will lead you into that life.
What have you got to lose, huh? John Ortberg is with us. We've got more. We're talking about his new book. Stay with us. We've got more right after this.
When you use public Wi-Fi, hackers and identity thieves can see anything you do online. Embarrassing photos, your web history, even your passwords. That's why I use private internet access to encrypt my internet connection for less than 10 cents a day. Sign up now at privateinternetaccess.com, and in just a few minutes, you'll be browsing anonymously and only sharing what you want to share. privateinternetaccess.com. It's time to protect your online privacy.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
Get relief for your neck or back pain when you search Amazon for Sunshine Pillows, heating wraps, and pads, often listed as an Amazon choice.
Why take another pill?
Now, from Sunny Bay and by customer demand, we introduce our extra long neck heating wrap, a complete wrap, wide and hands-free, and brings fast relief to those who suffer from neck or back pain.
You can easily find Sunshine Pillows on Amazon.
Or search Amazon for our new Sunny Bay disposable heat pads. Or look for Sunny Bay heated neck wraps for relief from back pain to menstrual pain and cramps.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck or back or shoulder.
See why our company, Biomed DB Design, has a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. Just go to Amazon.com and search Sunny Bay or call us 253-678-1361.
Hear that? That's the sound of a house being trashed while a gang of thieves ransack the place. And what they don't steal will be destroyed.
This year, resolve not to be the next victim of a break-in. Go to faketv.com and discover a device that creates the illusion someone inside is watching TV, even when you're miles away. Security is a mindset, and Fake TV should be part of your security solution. Be vigilant, but not fearful. faketv.com.
Bacon lovers, we ship free. Try our amazing bacon. No refrigeration required. Proprietary value-added packaging provides 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Savory and delicious. Wholesale price for your everyday use. Order today at readytoeatbacon.com. readytoeatbacon.com.
Non-attorney pays spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home, and you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect that may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. 800-667-9035. That's 800-667-9035.
Healthcare reform is confusing. With the loss of the Obamacare mandate, those needing help can now choose an affordable alternative. By joining Liberty HealthShare, you're part of a community of health-conscious Americans all over the country who control their own healthcare costs and choices. Liberty HealthShare is not insurance. It is an association of self-pay patients who unite with like-minded people to share the cost of their medical needs. Neighbor helping neighbor. Learn more now by going to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Right here, right now. Bill Martinez, live.
His name is Jesus. His name is freedom.
Back
Pretty America, 19 minutes after the top of the hour. Eternity is now in session. John Ortberg is with us, a senior pastor of Menlo Church in Northern California, best-selling author of All the Places to Go, How Will You Know? Your Magnificent Chooser. If you want to walk on water, you got to get out of the boat, huh? Despite the fact that John took his beach-loving wife, if you can imagine this, John, I don't know what you were thinking, but you take Nancy to central Wisconsin for your honeymoon. I mean, you could go to the beach, you go to central Wisconsin, but hey, look, at not all was lost. You're still celebrating a wonderful marriage and three kids, and hey, let's throw some dogs in there just for fun too, right?
Thank you so much for bringing up that honeymoon in Wisconsin story. I have been paying that for that with my wife for 35 years.
Well, she must have wrote it because I know it was in paren, so that's probably one of those things. Yeah, that's okay.
I grew up in Rockford, Illinois. I continue to believe Door County, Wisconsin in June is a tremendous place to go on a honeymoon, and I will defend it all the way through life.
Well, there it goes. Now you know, honeymooners, where you need to go. Yep. You know, heck, yeah, you can always go to Hawaii, but Wisconsin, yeah, once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Well, John, as we were talking about your new book, let's you know, consider for just a moment, you know, what motivated you to write Eternity is Now in Session?
You know, partly it happened through a person who became a good friend and kind of a mentor. He's a guy named Dallas Willard, and he was taught philosophy at USC. He's about the smartest guy I've ever known. I always used to joke with Dallas I would never get in an argument with him because I was afraid he would prove I don't exist. he had a way of helping people understand what that basic message of Jesus was. And that phrase, eternity is now in session, is one of the things Dallas used to say. I actually have it on my wall. And that notion that I do not have to wait for some other time. Eternity is going on right now. And we are people who are in such a hurry all the time. And are we there yet is the ubiquitous question. And that thought that for anybody who's listening right now, I can live with God. I can enter into that life through Jesus in this moment. While I am with you, I don't have to worry. I don't have to carry the outcome for how is this conversation going. I can simply be available to God in this moment and depend on Him and enjoy what He's doing. And so wanting to help people understand that the message of Jesus is not just here's the minimal entrance requirements for getting into heaven when you die. The message of Jesus was the time has come. The kingdom of God is at hand. Life in God's presence and God's favor with God's power is now available through Jesus. And if you want it, just become His disciple. And I think that offer is so close, but so many people never quite hear it. And that's what really motivated me to write the book.
Well, John, you know, imagine we have more people living that out. What kind of magnet does that create? What kind of revolution in our society, in our families, in our neighborhoods does that ignite?
I do believe that Jesus' plan to change the world. If you look at the Great Commission, what He says is to go into all the world. And then it's so interesting. So often we think our job in the church is to make Christians. Jesus never said to make Christians. The word Christian is never used by Jesus. It only occurs three times in all of the New Testament, but the word disciple occurs 269 times in the New Testament. The New Testament is a book by disciples, about discipleship, written for disciples. And the disciple is simply somebody who has said, my ultimate goal in life is to do whatever Jesus would do if He was in my place. And it is through the making of disciples that the world will be changed.
The other thing that people need to apprehend here, John, being that since you brought that up, is Jesus's command, our mission statement that He gave us, our reason to be. He wouldn't have told us, He wouldn't have directed us to do that if it was outside of our capability, would He?
Well, that's where, when He gives that remarkable command, and again, Bill, I think sometimes because words are in the Bible, for those of us who are in the church, we forget how shocking they are.
Mm-hmm.
Who else but Jesus would ever say to that little group of 11 guys, no money, no nothing, go into all the world and make disciples of all people groups, teaching them to obey everything I commanded you? That is the most presumptuous statement in the history of the human race.
Right.
And it's quite staggering. But then there's a promise that goes with that. We don't try to obey him through human effort or willpower in our own, because we could never do that. And the promise is, I will be with you to the very end of the age. Wherever you are, whatever you do, you are never alone. We do not do this on our own power. We look to him, and he's the one that's at work in us.
Yeah. Do you think it's interesting when God says, Jesus says, go, and he sends us forth, and maybe because we're not going, we end up having the mountain coming to us, in the form of, you know, this country in which we live in, which is a magnet in and of itself. People are coming here, and I maintain that one of the main reasons they come here is because of liberty. And the liberty, though our founding fathers had an idea of what it was, but they were clear. They did understand this much, that the liberty didn't come from man. It came from God himself. And that is a powerful magnet. So in a sense, even though in some cases, I know people question, say, well, I'm not, you know, not in South Africa taking the gospel. But yet, you know, when you go to church on Sunday, I remember we were in one service, and the pastor asked the question about different cultures and countries that people were in. And in that Sunday service of about 1,200 people, John, there were over 200 different countries represented in that in that service. Is that remarkable?
Yeah, I you know, the church where I serve is in the San Francisco Bay Area, and it's an incredibly diverse place. There are more people from other countries who speak other languages at home than English, and I love living here. I love the diversity of it. I think it is a picture of the kingdom that we're told about in the Bible, people from every tribe and tongue and language and nation, and how God must love that, and that I have the chance, so many of us do, to live in a place where there are so many different kinds of people and cultures, all of whom God loves so deeply, all of whom I can learn so much from, as well as sharing the love of Jesus with. What a fabulous time to be alive.
Yeah, without a doubt. John, in your book, you point out that each moment of our lives is a vehicle to the eternity we've been longing for all along. Unpack that a bit for us, would you?
Yeah, I think there's two great mysteries when it comes to time, and one of them is eternity, and how do we ever get our minds wrapped around that one? But the other one is this present moment, this moment right here, right now. And there was a wonderful book written a few centuries ago called The Sacrament of the Present Moment. And the idea of a sacrament is it's something ordinary, but it can be a vehicle of the extraordinary. And, you know, we spend most of our lives just impatient. We suffer from hurry sickness. We're always looking for the next thing.
It's a doggone microwave, John. It just doesn't go fast enough.
Yeah, that's exactly right. We got microwaves, and even that's not speedy enough.
Right.
And the only place where I can actually live the with God life, which is what Jesus offers, is in this moment right here.
Yeah.
And that's where hurry is the tremendous enemy of spiritual life in our day, because you simply cannot live a gospel life. You cannot live as a disciple in a hurry. You go through all the gospels, it never says, and then Jesus hurried.
I like that. Living the with God life, boy, that's what it's all about. And that's all the difference when that's your target focus. John, again, thank you for the book. It is awesome. How can people get their hands on it?
You can go online and get it from Amazon. You can get it in Christian bookstores. It ought to be accessible pretty much anywhere.
Yeah, we'll link it on our website as well. Is there a website they can go to for more information?
My publisher is Tyndale, so if folks were to Google Tyndale, they could get any more information that they want to through that, or they could just Google John Ortberg and get to me.
There it is. John Ortberg, senior pastor of Menlo Church in Northern California, best-selling author, and his brand-new book that we have been talking about, Eternity, is now in session. John, God bless. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Bill. God bless you, too.
This report is brought to you by Bank of America. New research from Bank of America finds women entrepreneurs are leading the charge in the transition to digital, driving adoption of mobile devices to process payments and managing transactions at higher rates than men. Sharon Miller, head of small business at Bank of America, discusses findings from the 2018 Bank of America Women Business Owner Spotlight.
Over the next 5 years, half of all entrepreneurs anticipate a complete transition to digital payments. Women are at the forefront of this shift by using their mobile tools to grow their business. This is one of the key findings that show women entrepreneurs are optimistic about the year ahead.
In the year ahead, 58% of women entrepreneurs expect their revenue to increase, up 14% from 2017. Several key growth indicators, such as hiring and economic optimism, are also on the rise. For more, visit newsroom.bankofamerica.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Parts of the Carolinas are now gearing up for as much as 40 inches of rain from Hurricane Florence, which is expected to make landfall somewhere near the North and South Carolina border late today or early tomorrow. It has now been downgraded to a Category 2 hurricane, but South Carolina Governor Henry McMaster says it doesn't mean you should let your guard down if you're in its path.
It could pick back up, and as we have been predicting, this hurricane is unpredictable. It seems to change a little bit here and there. It's making predictions very difficult.
The Senate Judiciary Committee is scheduled to vote today to send Brett Kavanaugh's Supreme Court nomination onto the full Senate, though Democrats on the committee are expected to request a one-week delay, which will likely be granted under committee rules. This is USA Radio News.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then call Page Publishing at 800-605-6995. Immediately. That's 800-605-6995. Page Publishing is looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to them and give you their feedback. If they like what they read, they'll get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. They handle everything. Editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography and want to get it published, then you need to call Page Publishing and do it immediately. Call 800-605-6995 now for your free author submission kit. Again, for your free author submission kit, call 800-605-6995. That's 800-605-6995. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call. Call Page Publishing at 800-605-6995 for your free author submission kit.
Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. What more could you... Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Bill Martinez here. As always, great to have you along with us, sharing a part of your day. And I want to talk with you about the Wounded Warrior Project. It is transforming the way America's injured vets are empowered, employed, and engaged in our communities. A Soldier Ride is one of Wounded Warrior's project's most iconic events. It began in 2004 when Long Island native Chris Carney cycled more than 5,000 miles coast to coast to help raise awareness for injured vets. The following year, several combat warriors who returned from Operation Enduring Freedom with visible and invisible injuries joined Chris for another cross-country ride. This trek across the nation refined personal strengths and limitations. I should say redefined personal strengths and limitations. Despite many obstacles, the group of warriors refused to give up, using the experience as a catalyst to show the public and themselves that with support and motivation, anything is possible. With us to talk about the Wounded Warriors Project marking its 15th year with Soldier Ride Across America is Lieutenant General retired Mike Lennington, the Chief Executive Officer of Wounded Warriors Project, and John Fernandez, U.S. Army Wounded Warrior, a Purple Heart recipient. Gentlemen, an honor to have you with us on Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
Happy to be here, Bill. Thank you.
Hey, what an iconic event, General. Tell us more about Soldier Ride and how it came about. I gave a rough outline, but I want you to expand on that if you would.
Yeah, so the ride that Chris
invested in 2004, inspired by warriors like John, who's sitting right here beside me, has really transformed over the year into a series of rides, 30 or 40 rides a year that offer opportunities for injured veterans all over the country to get involved with fellow veterans, overcome physical limitations through adaptive cycling, and really just get together over a 4 or 5 day period and challenge themselves physically and come together as groups and help in their rehabilitation and recovery. This year, we're celebrating the 15th iteration of Soldier Ride, and we're duplicating the ride that Chris took in 2004, and Chris and two warriors took in 2005. We're riding 3,300 miles, three teams of 12. We're starting the ride tomorrow at the 9/11 Memorial at One Trade down here in New York. We'll be at the Pentagon on 9/11, and then we're going to ride all the way to San Diego. So,
oh, wow.
Pretty amazing, inspirational, and aggressive 1 month.
Well, leave it to the band of brothers. It never ends for them when they make a commitment like this. John, this has to be especially gratifying for you to see how, Wounded Warriors and this iconic ride has evolved. Tell us about that.
Well, it really is an incredible event for really many reasons. I was injured 15 years ago, and it's kind of hard to believe that we've, as a nation, have been at war for 15 years. And with those 15 years come a lot of people that have been injured, right? So one of the things, when I was first injured, Wounded Warrior Project was there, and this organization was just starting out, and Soldier Ride was really just a new program. And one of the things that Wounded Warrior Project has done over those 15 years is created long-lasting programs. And what Soldier Ride specifically has done is given an opportunity for Wounded Warriors to get out in their community, interact with other warriors, and overcome some physical adversity. Because unlike wars in the past, right, World War II, Vietnam, even, so many other wars in our nation's history, a lot higher percentages of the general population have served. We have a very small percentage of this population that are making that sacrifice to serve our country.
Exactly.
So when we come back and we transition out of the military is hard enough as it is. Transitioning as a wounded warrior is much more difficult, as you can imagine. And when we come back to our communities, there are many that served with us. So that's why in a program like Soldier Ride is important. And it's an important gateway into the many programs that Wounded Warrior Project offers.
General, to John's point, we have learned so much with the wars we experienced. Of course, this latest one in Afghanistan, we're understanding that this has been, 17 years that we've been enduring. The vets who have paid the price, probably less than 1% of the U.S. population have volunteered. And as I say, we've learned so much more about it and, the injuries that they endure and that they have to live with for the rest of their lives.
It's not just the physical wounds like John endured. It's also the invisible wounds, post-traumatic stress, traumatic brain injury. Those are the areas that our organization, Bill, and others like us have created increased focus over the past several years, and providing opportunities both in, engagement events, physical health and wellness events like Soldier Ride, opportunities to take part in events that help warriors get the benefits they've earned, get jobs, reintegrate into their community, lead peer support groups across the country. And these are all great opportunities for veterans to get involved, and we encourage them to do so. Treatment works. The first step, as John mentioned, is just getting out and getting engaged. And that's why Soldier Ride is one of many programs, 5,000 events a year we host in cities all across the country to get warriors reconnected with each other and with their communities that support them.
I just got a note from the producer here, General, that we underestimated the length. They're saying 3,300 miles. I mean, 3,200, 3,300, it's a lot of riding, right?
Yeah, no, I was thinking about riding with them, as was John, until I found that it was 100 miles a day over the next month, and I tapped out.
Yeah.
Listen, though, these warriors have been training hard, Bill.
Yes.
And they've been going through individual conditioning. They've been through riding camps. They're ready to go. The
first team of 12 is queued up. We have three teams of 12, each is riding a third of the country. The team that starts here starts tomorrow, and they'll finish at the Pentagon. Actually, they ride through the Pentagon on 9/11. They finish in Louisville, Kentucky on the 16th of September. Team 2 from Louisville to Lubbock in the middle of September, and then Team 3 from Lubbock all the way to San Diego, finishing on the 7th of October.
Wow.
So very aggressive reincarnation of what Chris Kearney and Warriors did in 04 and 05, and it's going to be exciting to follow these teams as they cross the country.
I bet. I can't wait. Hey, John, as you say, you have been dealing with the injuries that you had sustained while at war 15 years ago. Let's talk a little bit about the challenges wounded vets still face at home.
Sure. Well, obviously there's very many challenges that come from just serving in the military in general and transitioning out, and then also dealing with injuries that were sustained during war.
Mm-hmm.
So the many programs that Wounded Warrior Project has helps address different injuries and different situations, because the needs of warriors differ. I'm a double amputee. Someone else has post-traumatic stress. Someone else has a traumatic brain injury. All of our needs are different, which is why there are so many different programs. And one of the most important thing is, well, Wounded Warrior Project doesn't necessarily get a list of people, right, that says,
right,
hey, this guy is injured. Mm-hmm. A lot of it is on the warrior. As an organization, Wounded Warrior Project doesn't know exactly what each individual warrior is experiencing. So don't hesitate to reach out. Many warriors feel like someone else maybe needs help more than them or is more deserving of it. And that's nonsense, because in reaching out, you're not only getting something, but you're giving something, especially a program like Soldier Ride. You get out there, and it's literally the embodiment of the Wounded Warrior Project logo, which is one soldier carrying another off the battlefield.
Exactly.
You get to be the one who was carried off the battlefield, now to be in a position where you're helping someone else. And I've seen it time and time again at Soldier Ride, other soldiers, other service members pushing on other warriors that may be having a hard time, doing a portion of the ride. So it's really an awesome situation.
Well, I got to tell you, it is such an honor to have both of you on the show here today. General, as we wrap things up, we've got 10 seconds. Where can they go for more information?
Best spot is probably our website, woundedwarriorproject.org.
Chief Executive Officer of Wounded Warrior Project.
Shaquille O'Neal here. If you battle back or hip pain or knee or shoulder pain, you don't have to tough it out. You can just turn it off with Smart Relief from Icy Hot. You just push a button and whoosh. Smart Relief sends waves of relaxing pulses that safely block pain at the nerve level. It's simple, easy to use, and it's been clinically tested to start providing immediate relief for hours, even after you turn it off. So if you're battling pain, let Icy Hot help you win that battle. Turn on Smart Relief and turn off pain.
Use only as directed.
When working at a growing business, you wear many hats. The new business hat, the buying toner for the copy machine hat, the sifting through tons of resumes hat. You can throw away that last hat thanks to Indeed.com. When posting your job, Indeed lets you add screener questions that give you a less time-consuming route to your short list of qualified candidates. So go ahead, dust off that extra long lunch hat. Hiring's better when you've got your short list. Save time on hiring when you post a job on Indeed. Get started today at Indeed.com/hire.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? As a Christian, are you looking for health care that doesn't violate your morals and convictions? Well, we're happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is a community of like-minded Christians that work together to pay for their medical costs. It allows you to decide how, when, and where you will access your health care, so you can make the best choice for you and your family. Starting at $199 a month for a single, up to $529 a month for a family, that's mom, dad, and all the kids. This is how healthcare should be. For more information, call 855-585-4237. That number again, 855-585-4237. Or visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org. And regain control over your healthcare costs, because this is the way it should be. Together, we're changing healthcare for good.
I'm David Hall, founder of Diamond Gusset, where we're proud of our 100% grown and sewn American-made jeans. Whether you're out for dinner, working on the farm, or on the road, Diamond Gusset Jeans offers a full spectrum of styles and sizes for any occasion. To find yours, visit gusset.com. That's G-U-S-S-E-T.com. Our loyal customers enable us to continue sponsoring Liberty Media outlets like the one you're listening to. In Liberty, David Hall, Diamond Gusset Jean Company.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit AIGDirect.com.
If you're young and healthy, you don't need life insurance, right? Yeah, that's what I used to think, too, until my brother died at 38. Joe left his wife with two kids, a mortgage, and a stack of bills she couldn't pay. Mary had to sell the house and move everybody into this tiny two-bedroom apartment just to make ends meet. I never want to do that to my wife, so I got life insurance. I called AIG Direct and was really surprised how affordable it is. Just $14 a month for $250,000 of term life coverage. Listen, if you have a family, you should seriously think about getting life insurance. You'll feel a lot better having it. Trust me.
Call AIG Direct for a free, no-obligation quote. The call takes less than 5 minutes, and you could save up to 70%. Call now. 1-800-910-7981. That's 1-800-910-7981. 1-800-910-7981.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. What more could you want?
A pretty night, I'm singing to the sky. Give me strength to raise my voice, let me testify. A pretty night, cause this is do or die. The time has come to make a choice. And I choose
back, America. 14 minutes before the top of the hour. Bill Martinez here. For more information on the show, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com. You want to drop me an email? And of course, I'm sure you probably will after our next guest, Tom Harris, coming up here. Bill@BillMartinezLive.com. You know, traditionally, think about this, liberals have usually supported skepticism and relativism. You always heard, from the left, why? Those are good questions to ask, especially when it comes to science. Indeed, it was the German left who promoted Albert Einstein's relativity, and the right who opposed it, believing in hindsight correctly that it threatened their worldview. But this approach has been turned upside down in the global warming debate. While many conservatives promote open discussion about the causes of climate change, most of the left consider this unacceptable. As promised, Tom Harris, Executive Director of the International Climate Science Coalition, joins us now. Tom, how you doing?
Pretty good. How are you, Bill?
Hey, I'm doing terrific. Thanks for joining us. This is really what this is. This is a clash of worldviews, and interesting that the tables have turned.
Yeah, exactly. In fact, it's interesting because in The Guardian, they just had an open letter published, signed by politicians, by scientists, by the executive director of Greenpeace, telling the media they should not report on the alternative point of view. And in fact, what they were threatening here specifically was they said that if the media allowed skeptics to have a voice in the stories, these so-called public intellectuals will boycott giving comments. So they want to shut us down because they know the truth.
Right. Well, our former president, in fact, used a very non-scientific term in talking about this issue. He said it is a fact. Well, that's not science. I mean, in science, it's a law, but I don't know of anything being a fact when it comes to science. Do you?
Yeah, no, that's quite correct. The whole point is that truth only applies to things that are universal. In other words, they apply everywhere. It applies on Mars. It applies in Athens. Necessary. In other words, it has to be that way. It's unequivocal. And truth is certain. There's no probability involved. It's in the bank. And, 2 + 2 = 4. That would be true. Mm-hmm. But the idea that we are causing dangerous climate change That's a matter of interpretation the scientists make on their observations of the data. And, of course, there's all sorts of different data and all sorts of different interpretations. And the scientists themselves are biased themselves. You know, everybody on this planet is biased in one way or another based on your upbringing and your education and your financial status. All those things influence you.
But, Tom, it seems like we've gotten more fixated over that biases, and we're letting that drive the point as opposed to reason and intellect, because now what has happened is that if you don't agree with me, you're marginalized. You're now you don't have an opportunity to get an A in class. You're not going to be given an F. You lose tenure. You know, you are you know, you are compelled to behave as you know, certain people in power dictate, or you're out of the club.
Yeah, exactly. And you can see that very much in the Global Climate Action Summit that's coming up on the 12th to the 14th of this month in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. A team of us are actually going down to San Francisco, and we're going to be, you know, presenting alternative points of view. But, you know, when I've shown people the list of speakers that are going to be at the Global Climate Action Summit in San Francisco, it includes people who have nothing to do with science. Mm-hmm. I mean, and of course, if they're promoting truth, well, that isn't science, it's opinion. Alec Baldwin, for example, is going to be a speaker there. The minister, Prime Minister of Fiji is going to be there. Mayor of San Francisco. You know, there are some scientists here as well, president of the American Geophysical Union. But then there's a musician who's a keynote speaker at a climate summit. You know, so, I mean, it does get beyond the science after a while because, you know, they know what the truth is. So now it's just a matter of taking action to save the planet. And indeed, if you read what Governor Brown said, I mean, in his YouTube video, for example, promoting the video or promoting the conference, he says this. He says, I'll just read it. It is up to you, it is up to me and tens of millions of other people to get it together to roll back the forces of carbonization and join together to combat the existential threat of climate change. That's why we're having the Global Climate Action Summit in San Francisco. Well, I mean, it is interesting, Bill, you know, that the people around the world don't agree that climate change is really that serious a problem in comparison with things like better education and healthcare. And I think we've spoken about this before, but the UN, they actually did a worldwide poll, and millions of people have voted, and they gave people 16 priorities, and you were supposed to list them as to what governments in the UN should focus on first. And as this poll is being conducted, it's pretty amazing to see what's happening. Climate change, action on climate change, comes dead last. Okay, things like education and clean drinking water and good sources of electricity. I mean, those things all are coming much higher on the list. And, of course, that makes sense because, I mean, if you look at a country like Nigeria, for example, they rate climate change not just last, but very far last.
Right, exactly.
But, yeah, because they don't have the basics of life. But if you look at countries like Denmark, I believe they put climate change as the third or fourth. Interestingly, the United States puts climate change as number 10. So even in the U.S., the people are not agreeing with the U.N. and Al Gore when they tell us that it's the greatest threat to the planet and the greatest threat to people.
Well, the unfortunate thing about this, Tom, is because of the hyperbole and amazingly coming out of science where, you know, the things that I appreciated when I went to school about science is that everything had to be referenced. You had to, you know, show your research. You had to prove your point. And if you were going to operate in the theory, theoretical, then you stated it as such. But it's unfortunate that science has reduced itself to this low of level because it compromises its credibility. Does it not?
Yeah, that's exactly true. I mean, good scientists know that everything is up for debate. Okay, I mean, for when they first proposed that the plates move, the plate tectonics, I mean, that scientist was disgraced in the field, and it was only after he died that they realized he was right. You know, so I mean, science always changes. Today's supposed truths are tomorrow's wrongs, you know, and that's the way we should progress, because if we stop questioning, that's when science comes to a grinding halt. Okay, and indeed, you know, you see throughout history that when we stopped exploring and expanding our minds, that's when societies go backwards. So scientists should be speaking out more and saying, you know, oh, come on, this is our opinion. It'll change based on new information, new data. And, you know, a lot of the data, for example, very, very simple, basic data, does not show what we're, you know, that we're experiencing anything unusual. You know, the maximum temperature in California, for example, was July 10th, 1913. And if you look at the official government records for states, what you find is that all across the board, these maximum temperatures were set almost always a long, long time ago. In fact, in the 21st century, only two states have had their maximum temperature records set. You know, all the other maximum records, in fact, back in the 30s, I think it was 1936, there was something like 15 maximum temperature state records set. And you can look at this database, and I'll send it to you. It's really interesting.
Yes,
it talks about max temperature, min temperature, most snow, most wind, all that sort of thing. And what you find is there's very few records being set right now. As far as I know, and the last time I checked the database a few days ago, the only record in 2018 was the largest hailstone ever in Alabama. It's interesting. It was more than 5 inches in diameter. So, yeah, I mean, if climate change is going to kill anybody, I guess that hailstone could kill someone.
Well, yeah. Well, the thing is, as well, is that if it's man-caused, and considering how many more people occupy the planet versus then to now, you would think there would be a greater impact, would you not?
Well, yeah. Anything that's going to change, you know, with respect to hurricanes, and, you know, we haven't had a hurricane make landfall in 2018, you know, tornadoes are down, you know, the maximum temperatures are down. I mean, it really doesn't make sense to say that we're having all these weather extremes when, even though now we have a lot more observations, we're not seeing, you know, these kinds of things. And of course, the infrastructure around the world in the last century has increased 13-fold. So where on the coast of Florida there might have been one hotel 100 years ago, there's now 13. So when hurricanes do hit, they do cause a lot more damage, even though we do harden our infrastructure. And the other thing, of course, Bill, is that if you had a tornado hit in the middle of Oklahoma 300 years ago, who would know?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, whereas now everyone's out with cell phones. So, you know, there's a lot of observational bias there, where there's just a lot more people to observe what is actually happening. But even still, even with that observational bias, the records still show that today's climate is not unusual, nothing unusual going on. And all of the climate scare, essentially, is based on computer model forecasts of the future, which the scientists themselves admit are not actually modeling climate very well today.
Well, not to mention with Al Gore, some of the information that he used going into it was fudged and since has been proven. But yet to this day, people, you know, they haven't done their due diligence. They hold on to that old, outdated and lying information, that deceptive information, and they try to argue the point. And I'm saying, look, I'm not here to win the argument. I want to, you know, I want to win the day for all of us, and that is, let's do what's right, but based on, you know, reason and intellect.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, Sir Francis Bacon, back in the 17th century, he talked about how our minds are influenced by inherent traits and social influences. And he, you know, he talked about, for example, the idol of the tribe that affects everyone. It concerns our natural tendency to see pretty patterns, you know, things that are not really there. And, you know, we have to be very careful about that. You know, idol of the cave, that's a really interesting one. How specific biases affect each of us as individuals. You know, for example, a chemist is going to see chemistry in everything.
Exactly.
And if you're being paid millions of dollars to, you know, basically find human cause of climate change, well, you already are biased from the start, and undoubtedly you'll find some evidence somewhere. And, of course, our school system is completely biased. I mean, I taught a course in climate science at Carleton University. I had about 1,500 students over the years, and they were astounded that most of what they were hearing in high school before then was either wrong or highly debatable. And the idea that scientists agree we're causing a, you know, dangerous climate change, well, some do and some don't, and some say, I don't know. So, I mean, you know, the opinion is all across the board. When I ask scientists behind closed doors, even if it's going to be hotter or colder in 20 years.
Well, Tom, we've got to leave it there. As always, we appreciate the insight and update. Tom Harris, Executive Director of the International Climate Science Coalition. Thank you, Tom.
Hey, thanks, Bill.
Let's talk tough. Let's talk comfort. Let's talk about down-home values. Made in the USA blue jeans, like you wore as a kid. Remember?
There's a place down in Tennessee where they make blue diamond gusset jeans. They show pride in every stitch. Guarantee you love the way they fit. They put a diamond gusset in the crotch where you need it most.
Blue Diamond Gusset's got it. Others don't.
For good old-fashioned comfort, get Diamond Gusset jeans. Every stitch guaranteed. And our Defender motorcycle jean comes Kevlar reinforced. See them at GUSSET.com. That's Gusset.com. Or call 888-848-7738. That's 888-848-7738. Diamond Gusset jeans got it. Others don't.